This is Fairhope Hospice Presents, sponsored by Fairhope Hospice and Palliative Care and the Pickering House, serving Fairfield, Hocking, Perry, and Athens counties. Now, here's Denise Bauer.
Hello and welcome to Fairhope Hospice Presents. We have Rick Schneider, our Community Education Coordinator, with us. Welcome, Rick.
It's good to be here, and I think we have a surprise guest. I don't think she's ever been on before.
No, we have Judy Grubb, and she is one of the nurses with Fairhope. Welcome, Judy.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. We were talking before we got on the air. How long have you been with hospice?
3.5 years. Yeah.
It's interesting, you know, all the work we do, and really a lot of it boils down to the nurses.
A lot of it does.
Where the rubber meets the road is when the nurses are in the patient's home, and that's where we get so many of our recommendations, our referrals, our repeat business, our compliments.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, Rick. I know that I get a lot of compliments whenever we're in the home. It takes a special kind of person to do hospice, and I would believe that, too. It does take a special kind of person to do this kind of work, and I think that the nurses that we have working with hospice definitely give it their all, and we are, you know, pretty much the face of hospice, Fairhope Hospice, and that's what keeps us coming back and people recommending us.
Well, you know who runs it? Denise. She has been in the home. She was a visiting nurse in the patient home, so she understands that.
Where I started, doing on-call.
You know what people don't understand? Once you get into the home, it's you. You're not in a doctor's office anymore.
That's right.
Well, let's talk about some of the differences that you see with hospice nursing since you've been doing it. How would you say it's different from like being in the hospital? Maybe what are some of the similarities?
I think that I think I probably could relate a little bit more as far as being in a facility, like an extended care facility, a nursing home, versus having hospice come into your home. I did work in a few facilities before I came to hospice, and you definitely get more one-on-one with Fairhope and having the nurse and our aides come into your home. You get that one-on-one. You get that attention that you don't necessarily get in a nursing home.
Sure.
And I think not that our nursing homes here don't give good patient care, but I think the patient care is because we are doing one-on-one that we get more attached and more close to our patients. So I feel like we give better care in that sense.
Well, and I know also we do provide care in the facilities. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, like you said, Judy, one of the things that people appreciate is that when they call Fairhope in, that patient's getting a lot more one-on-one attention.
Exactly.
Whether like it's like from you, one of the nurses, the aides, the social workers, our spiritual care, and then volunteers and dear to your heart is our music and our pets, right?
That's right. We have Brinkley that comes into a lot of our facilities. I do a lot of facility patients. I see a lot of our hospice patients in the facilities. And Brinkley, she's definitely a frequent flyer there. I know we do have a few other pets that we have that are under our pet therapy that I don't quite get to see as often, but I hear they do come around and...
Oh, yeah. We're the entire enchilada here. But, you know, when you're talking about work, a lot of people don't understand that when we take care of a patient in a nursing home, we assist the staff. You know, they have to stay busy, and so they have other patients, other residents. And when we come in, you brought up a good point. We can stay and talk to them. Our aides can take 2 hours to feed the patient if
That's
necessary,
right.
You know. And we can give that little extra. And, you know, the volunteers do the extra with the pet therapy coming in. And we can just sit with patients as well.
Well, and I think the No One Dies Alone program with our
volunteers. That's a great program.
Has really been helpful. And, you know, when people really think about their last days, they don't want to die alone.
No way.
They don't want to die in pain. And so that's where our nursing team of our RNs, our LPNs, and our aides really is helpful because they can provide that extra comfort those last hours when they need it.
And it's amazing, you know, the volunteers, I think dying is almost like birthing. It never seems to happen between 8 in the morning and 4 in the afternoon. And the NODA calls, No One Dies Alone calls go out, and from, we'll say, 8 at night to 8 in the morning. And they fill up all the time slots with volunteers. It's just amazing. And you being a nurse as well, know that a lot of people aren't sick between 8 and 4.
Oh, no. Absolutely.
You know, that's one of the things you've done too, Judy, is on call. Why don't we talk a little bit about what on call is and kind of what we do with that?
Yeah, the on call is definitely thriving. like Rick said, people just aren't sick between, you know, your normal business hours, 8 to 4,
right.
And We get a lot of people that call that are in need and need assistance, whether it be from our No One Dies Alone program or from a nurse to come out and visit. They're having an issue that can't be resolved at home and want a nurse to come visit, and it happens pretty frequently.
Absolutely. So we have on call available on all the hours when the office is closed, but pretty much 4 p.m. to 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. every day, and then, of course, the weekends and holidays as well. So our on-call staff are very important. And I guess one thing I noticed, when I was doing on-call too, is that you just have to be very autonomous, because what's different from being maybe working in the hospital or working in a nursing home, there's always someone kind of beside you. Mm-hmm. And I think our nurses have to be very strong, because it takes a special person to be able to go out there on your own without another colleague. Now, we do have doctors and pharmacists and nurses they can call to help them, but still, you have to be out there thinking on your own.
Exactly.
You don't have that nurse next to you to say, hey, what do you think about this?
That's right. You have to be on your toes, basically, and pretty much know what you're doing. Like Denise said, you have that doctor that you can call on to ask questions, but you need to be on your toes.
And absolutely.
You can sometimes have to be the chaplain and the social worker, too, because it's just you, And I remember one time a nurse was telling me, she was at the bedside and in walks, it's a patient's home, and I guess it was a daughter from out of state walked in, just came in, flew in, and came in. She goes, hospice? Nobody said anything about hospice. Now, all of a sudden, the nurse has to talk to the family member who didn't want hospice to be there or didn't know hospice was going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to explain all what was going on, and that didn't have anything to do with nursing, per se, as much the emotional and the fear that the daughter had. Mm-hmm. And so you guys really, you never know what's going to happen.
Right. And, I'm kind of changing the story here a little bit. I had a patient that I went to just over the weekend, actually. When I went to their house, they had just gotten signed on to service with us just on Friday, and very nice family. They were very concerned about the way that their house looked whenever I got there.
Sound like my mom.
And that would be me, because I'm very neat and tidy, and I like my house to be neat and tidy whenever I have company that comes over. But I explained to her that that's not what we're there for. We're not there to judge how you live your life. We want to take the best care that we can of the patient.
Absolutely.
And the family. So
that's a good point.
I'm glad you brought that up, because people, we don't maybe hear that as often. We do hear it some, but people are probably thinking it, oh, I don't know if my house is, mm-hmm. clean enough.
Or, exactly.
And at this time of year, we don't expect people to do snow removal for us.
Right.
Our nurses have boots in their cars.
That's
and things if they need to, because they're sick. Just like in the summer, people can't mow their grass. They're sick.
We understand there's a crisis. You don't have to do the dishes.
That's right.
Actually, we have aides that sometimes come in and help with different things to help tidy up the patient rooms and things like that. That's mm-hmm. part of what they do. So we have staff that kind of help with that. Not that we go in and clean the old house every week, but I'm just saying we have staff that, and like you said, volunteers that help us with different things.
Right. And I know a lot of our families that we have on service, they have pets. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are real gracious whenever we come over. If they have a pet that they don't feel is as friendly as a pet should be, when a new person comes in, they're very generous in putting that pet up. And but we have a lot of patients that are on service with us that have pets, and me being a pet person, mm-hmm. I'm definitely a cat lover. We have a patient on service with us that I went to see for the very first time. They have several dogs and several cats, but I fell in love with their cat, Oliver. He was very friendly. Their dogs came up, and most of our patients, their pets are usually pretty friendly when they're not. Like I said, they put them up. So I'm a big pet person, so I like to go in houses that have pets.
I always carry the begging strips and little cat treats, the Temptations, in those
foil
bags. And I had a patient one time, and when I knocked on the door, she said, "You're from hospice, aren't you?" It was the first time I'd stopped over. It wasn't an announce. She just said, "Come over any time." And she said, "For some reason, my dog never barked when someone from a Fair Hope came."
That's kind of strange.
He said he barks when I show up, everybody.
That's weird.
He never, ever, and that was the first time I showed up, and he was a neat
little
guy.
It's like he knew you were from hospice.
She says, I don't know how he knew. Yeah, and they say sometimes dogs can see an aura. That's why sometimes you trust your dog's instincts. If they bark, maybe there's something going on.
Yeah.
They feel that they can see something that we can't. An aura is what I was reading about that, because Oscar didn't bark. for me, that sounds like the dog didn't bark. It's not a good sign, but he didn't bark when hospice came in because he knew. I guess he just knew we're good people.
Yeah, that's good.
And, you know, when you say, people ask, how can you do it? And I said, well, it's really, for me, it's very fulfilling. It's very easy.
Absolutely. I would totally agree with that.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because I've told this story before, but oftentimes if I'm in my office and I need to go walk over into the Pickering house and, you know, maybe walk down that hall of where the patients are and go into a lounge, I'll turn around and almost every time Chester's following me.
Yeah.
I mean, that cat, he knows where people are.
And he wants to know where the action is.
That's right. I'm like, Chester, do you not trust me? What's going on here? But I may not see him all day until I start down that hall, and then he's right there with me.
When he wants
it's like
to be
his
seen,
domain, you know?
Mm-hmm,
it's
that's
funny.
Right.
But he does provide a lot of comfort to people.
He does, absolutely. I always hear lots of good things. People actually ask me, do you guys still have that cat there?
He'll stay away if he does not need it, but he'll be there if he needs
right.
it.
We'll come out and visit Chester if you want. So, I do want to take a short break. I want to thank Judy Grubb and Rick Schneider for being with us, and we are going to take a short break.